I'm Bethany Losada. Thank you so much for joining me today in my podcast, Overcomers, where we talk about how to overcome life's difficulties with a friend, faith, and a cup of tea. Today, I'm drinking chamomile, which is great if you have an upset stomach, and it's really calming. We're in a series right now called Overcome by Anxiety to Overcomer, a mother and daughter's faith journey prevailing through anxiety. Last week, we started talking about the elementary age child and how to help them with their frustration and anger, especially as it pertains to school. And today, we're going to talk about worry and anxiety. We're going to go over three things. We're going to talk about situations that can cause heightened anxiety in your child, a couple coping strategies and techniques you can learn to teach your child, and then we're going to end with talking about the root fears behind the anxieties and worries and how we can speak truth to those. It's important as parents that we understand times and situations that our child might experience increased anxiety. If your child struggles with anxiety, they probably don't like change or something new. So anytime when they're in a situation that's completely new to them will be an opportunity for increased anxiety. Maybe that's moving, changing schools, starting an activity for the first time, or sometimes it's even being in a classroom that's chaotic because your child thrives on knowing what the expectations are and routine. Another time that can cause heightened anxiety is when there's transitions involved. Maybe that transition is from home to school, school to sports, or maybe it's when it's time to go on a family vacation. And then there's the opportunity of transition and difficulties when you have a family that's divorced and your child travels from one parent's house to the next. I know when my daughter was in kindergarten, that transition for her was extremely difficult. Mostly had to do with wearing a uniform for the first time that was very constrictive, a certain type of shoes she had to wear, and it just made her very uncomfortable and was not something she was used to and part of her routine. It made that transition really difficult for her. But once she got used to her uniform, I remember once summer came around, she wanted to keep wearing it instead of her normal summer clothes. So they really thrive off of that routine. When she went back to start fourth grade, which was the school year after she had her anxiety crisis, was another really difficult transition for her. And what really helped us was buying a little hamster that we named Tammy, who would go with her everywhere. He really helped with transitions. He had his own little carry case that was a little yellow school bus, and my daughter could take him to restaurants with her, church, the grocery store, wherever we were going, and especially went with us from home up to her classroom door, which helped her transition because she was able to look at her hamster, hold on to him, feel that comfort, get her mind off her worries and anxiety, and then be able to just transition into her new environment better. Now, does that mean if your child struggles with transition, you have to go out and buy a hamster today? No, not necessarily. There's a lot of different techniques that you can use and things you can implement to help your child during their difficult transitions. One idea could be using a picture of yourself or the family that your child could pull out of their backpack or sports bag and take a quick look at and be calmed and reminded of your love. Maybe it's using a special keychain on their backpack or sports bag that has a special fond memory or a calming place that's a reminder to them. I know when my daughter was in fourth grade, she was able to have a locker and she put this inside of it. It says, "Let your faith be bigger than your fear." And that to her was so encouraging and calming. She could open that locker up in the middle of her day and be reminded that she doesn't have to be afraid, that she could have faith. There's lots of little things and mementos you can use for your child, especially if they're transitioning from one home to another home in a divorced family. Being able to take something from their bedroom with them to help with that transition and coming up with a routine of a certain way that you do that transition every time so they know what to expect and helps calm those anxieties and worries for them. Let's talk about a couple coping techniques that you can teach your child when they're starting to feel extremely worried or anxious. The first one we're going to talk about is how to use role play. Let's say that your child struggles when they get called on in class, that it creates a lot of anxiety and they don't like the attention to be put on them. How can you help them overcome that? You could come up with your own little classroom at home. Say you allow your child to be the teacher first and you're the student. Maybe use a little whiteboard and your child teaches you a quick lesson and then calls on you for questions and you have to answer them. Then you can reverse that and you're the teacher teaching something simple and your child's a student and you call on them to answer questions. Maybe they even practice how to answer when they don't know what the answer is and they can practice that. You can make it super fun by using props, dressing up, whatever it is to help them buy into it and really practice overcoming what they're afraid of. Let's say that maybe your child struggles with going to a friend's house, anybody else's house where you're not there. You can help them ease into that by creating a code word or phrase that they can use if they feel uncomfortable or need you to come pick them up. It could be something simple that they could use on their own phone, a friend's phone, or even the friend's parents' phone, that nobody else will know what you're really communicating. So your child, let's say, could use the phrase, "What's for dinner?" And that's your code that your child is struggling right now or there's a situation that's uncomfortable and you need to come get them. If they know that there's a plan in action, what the outcome will be and how they can solve it, they're going to have less anxiety about the situation. In my daughter's case, she was very anxious about the opportunity or possibility if she ever threw up in school and in front of her friends. We talked through that. She had a friend who sat next to her in class who had recently thrown up. And I use that as an example. I asked her, "So how did it make you feel when your friend threw up in class?" And she said, "Well, that made me feel pretty gross. I think throwing up is gross." I said, "Exactly. We can all agree throwing up is gross. But how did that make you feel about your friend? Did you feel any differently about her?" She thought about it and said, "Of course not. I love my friend. Why would I think any different?" And she even had more compassion because she saw her friend struggling and feeling bad. Then we turned it around and I asked her, "So how do you think you would feel if you threw up in class?" Well, the same answer, really gross. "I think it would be gross, feel gross." Say, "Exactly, because throwing up is gross." And then I asked her, "What do you think your friends would think of you? Do you think that would change if they saw you throw up?" And she thought about the last example we had talked about and she said, "Of course not. They're going to love me the same, just like I did. And they're going to care about me and be there with me." And I said, "That's exactly what I want you to think about every time that fear comes to your mind. If you throw up at school in front of people, that it's going to be gross, but your friends are going to love you just the same and be there to help you and support you." So she could use that thought process every time that fear was coming to her mind of what it was really going to look like and what the outcome would be. Another example of a coping technique you can help teach your child is visualization. You're going to help them come up with a favorite place that they have. Maybe it's a super calming one or a super fun place that they just love going. And you're going to help them walk through the five senses and try to bring them back to that place in their mind. So we're going to use the example of the beach because I love going to the beach and doing family vacations there. So let's run through each of the senses and try to put ourselves there at the beach. What do I see? I'm at the beach and I see the seagulls flying overhead. I see the waves crashing into the sand. I see a beautiful orange and red sunset over this vast blue sea. I can hear the seagulls chirping above me. I can hear the crashing waves. I can hear kids playing in the sand and throwing the ball. Okay, now what can I smell? I can smell the salty sea air. I can smell the seaweed that's washing on the shore. Okay, what can I taste? All right, well, when a big wave crashes over me, I can taste the salty water. And I can taste the gritty sand in my teeth. Now, what can I feel? So I imagine myself sitting there on the beach What do I have in my hands? Maybe it's a sand dollar that's soft on the outside, or a shell with the ridges that I can feel and the spirals, or I can feel the sand passing through my fingers. Now that I've gone through all those senses, just imagine with me there. You're in that place. You're in the beach. You can feel it. You can touch it. You know what it's like. You want that same experience for your child, choosing something, helping them go through the senses so it helps bring them back to that place. They can practice doing this exercise whenever they're getting really anxious, just closing their eyes for a few minutes and running through it to help bring them to that calming place, a place that they feel good and secure and have a positive connection with. Then they can open their eyes back up and deal with whatever situation is in front of them. But it's just a good way to draw them out of that anxious situation and into something calming and comfortable. We use some visualization with my daughter when we went on our first airplane ride after she had gone through an anxiety crisis. Everything related to the trip, whether it was traveling, flying, eating out, whatever it was that had to do with her anxiety crisis was still causing her a lot of worry. So we decided to go on our first airplane ride to help her conquer that fear. And she couldn't take her hamster with us. So instead of that, she visualized her hamster in the most ridiculous outfit she could think of, going to Florida in the beach with a suitcase in his hand. So every time she was transitioning from the car into the airport or into the plane, she was feeling a little anxious. She had this picture pop up in her mind that she could think of, and she would just start giggling to herself. It helped her lighten the mood and think of something else that was fun and silly. Really helped her transition and be able to face that fear and getting into that airplane using that visualization technique. So we've talked about some situations that might heighten anxiety in your children, a couple coping strategies. Now let's talk about what is the root reason behind our worries and anxiety. Those are fears that we have. As a parent, we can help our child by investigating the root fears that they're having behind the worry that they're presenting. How we can do that is by asking really good questions, trying to figure out what they're truly afraid of. One situation that might cause a lot of worry for your child is if they're going to do well on a test in school. Some good questions you could ask them to try to figure out their true fears are you afraid that you might disappoint your parents or me? Are you afraid that you might disappoint the teacher? Are you afraid if you do poorly that the other students will make fun of you or think less of you? Asking those questions will help you see what they're truly afraid of. Another chance for worry might be if they're worried about making friends at school. Some questions you could ask them about that might be, are you afraid if your friends really know you that they won't like you? Are you afraid of being alone? Or are you afraid of being rejected? Those are good questions to help you get at the root of what they're really afraid of. Once we find out what our children are really afraid of, What can we do then? How do we speak truth to combat those fears that they're facing? When my son was 3 or 4 years old, he went through a time at night where he really struggled and was feeling very fearful of everything that was dark. Darkness in itself, whether it was evil, the unknown, just darkness at bedtime was causing him a lot of worry. So I would rock him and try to talk to him, pray with him, and tell him, it's okay, you don't need to worry. But none of that was helping. What he really needed was a truth that he could say to his fear of darkness. So we started reciting 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, that says, "The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." And he knew that he had Jesus in his heart. And we said that because Jesus is in your heart, he is greater, who's living inside of you, than anything else that you can see or face in this world, whether it's evil, whether it's worries, whatever situation it was. That was the truth he could hold on to. And a few days later, after we practiced reciting it every time he was feeling fearful, it really started sinking in and he started doing better and going to sleep more peacefully every night. I'm going to give you a couple examples of some really common root fears that we all face, adults and children, and some examples of scriptural truths that you can speak to your child to help them learn so when they combat, when they face those fears, they have a truth to speak to it. The first fear is no one will like me or I am not good enough. Isaiah 41, 9 through 10 says, I took you from the ends of the earth. From its farthest corners, I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And Luke 12, 7 says, indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. The truth that those verses speak to is how precious and chosen they are by God. They have not been rejected, but they have been chosen. We have the fear of the future. Jeremiah 29, 11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. The truth your child can hold on to is that God has good plans for them in their future. We have the fear of failure. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Your child can hold on to the truth that no matter what happens, their biggest failure, God can still use it for good in their life. The fear, I can't do it, it's too hard. Isaiah 40, 29 through 31 says, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And Philippians 4, 13 says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. So whatever they're facing in their life and what trials and obstacles, God can give them the strength to get through it. The fear of being alone or lonely. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Your child can know they will never be alone because God will never leave them and always be with them. The last fear that I'm going to share is the fear that something will go wrong. Philippians 4, 6 through 8 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. They can pull the truth that if they give something up to the Lord and trust in him, he's ultimately in control and can bring good to their life and carry them through whatever it is that they're facing. Thank you so much for listening today as we've talked about worries and anxieties and how they affect our children and ways that we can help teach them to overcome those worries and anxieties. The next time we get together, we're going to talk about behavior modification tools that you can use to help your child. I'm going to close today with a prayer over you. Dear Father, thank you for my friend who is seeking insight and understanding. I pray that you would bless them with an open heart to sense your leading and direction of how they can love and support their child even better. I pray that you would make them aware of your truths and know that they do not need to live in fear, because if they ask you to be your savior, you who is in them is greater than anything else they will face in this world. Bless them with peace of mind and a calm heart. In your name, Jesus, amen. I look forward to seeing you again next time on Overcomers with a Cup of Tea.